Hello, everyone. Welcome again to the Startup Societies Foundation podcast. Today, we have a special episode where we're talking about Startup Society competition, specifically the Blue Frontiers Build Your Own Seastead competition. Today, we are joined by Mark Fraser, the director of the board of the Startup Societies Foundation. Mark Fraser has been doing Startup Society-related projects for many, many years and has established many best practices on how to move forward to make great startup societies for the world. And some of the things he's developed in terms of best practices has been competitions in order to incentivize people to create startup societies in special economic zones around the world. He realizes that when you go to individual governments or single governments in order to negotiate to make startup societies, they have incentive to make the negotiations last longer or renege on deals. So rather than push on a string, as Mark calls it, he believes that competitions are having multiple people around the world compete for a prize to become a startup society haven will actually incentivize them more to make sure the deal happens on time and happens effectively. And what we suggested, both Mark and I, is that we create a competition for seasteading so that everyone around the world has the opportunity to create a seastead near their local government, especially economic sea zone. And they get rewarded $100,000 and in land lease revenue and in Varion tokens in order to succeed at the competition. And right now, we're just going to talk to Mark Fraser about why people who are applying to this contest and why locals benefit from this competition. Mark, how are you doing today?
Doing well. It's great, Joseph, to be connecting on this topic. It's one that is very near and dear to my heart. And over the past four decades, I've had the joy of working on a number of contests. So what I'd like to do is cover from the experiences of special economic zones around the world, elements that can make for particular success in the Make Your Own Seastead competition. I'd like to begin by saying that there's essentially two levels of prosperity creation as we're looking for this initiative to proceed. One of them is what we can call the program level, and that's essentially the software, the operating system for special economic zones to succeed. Most of the 3,000, or virtually all of the 3,500 plus special economic zones around the world to date are land-based. And the seasteading competition is introducing the idea that the special economic zone incentives also can extend to floating communities. So at the program level, we're looking for a set of policies that will benefit Blue Frontiers and the private risk-taking investors in setting up a floating community. But equally, for the local allies, for the champions of the seasteading initiative, themselves to benefit from a potentially massive opportunity to introduce world-class incentives, reforms, policy reforms on land-based companion areas of their choosing. And so I'd like to start by saying that the software, which works both for the sea zone and the land zone elements, can include several ingredients which can make for a very vibrant response on the part of entrepreneurs and risk takers worldwide, on sea and on land. One of the elements that's been quite successful for special economic zones is introducing e-government solutions. Many, many investors are held back by paperwork, delays, bureaucracy, corruption, and so on. And so one opportunity to improve the overall climate on land and sea will be to set up simple systems. It can be as easy as putting all the forms and permits that is on paper today, put it on the web and have fast track processing of people who want to set up companies, form corporations, to register properties, to have this be done online. And in fact, one of the revenue generating opportunities that one finds is that people will pay a fee in order to have the simplicity and transparency of these online web-based e-government systems. So this is part of a package that could generate revenue by offering people this green lane, this fast track to get businesses launched and investment approved, and to pay the eGov fee for that. The revenues from these fees can be shared with the sponsoring government. They can also be shared with the private developers and solution providers who can bring e-government solutions to the table. In some cases, for example, in Eastern Europe, multinational companies have come in and provided turnkey online governance solutions in areas that the government wanted to streamline. And they're repaid for this out of a share of the user fees from the new system. So there are models where you can find risk-taking partners to help bring in simplicity and transparency at their own upfront expense and be repaid out of a portion of the revenue, with the balance of the revenue going to the government and to good causes, the initiators of the Make Your Own Seasteading project may want to introduce. Now, there can be especially big upsides in terms of revenue if one goes to models like the ones in the United Arab Emirates. Dubai, one of the foremost special economic zones of the world, and the other parts of the Emirates are making almost $1 billion a year through visa and work permit systems that are online. And people pay close to $1,000 a year to be able to come under these visas and work permits and enjoy a tax-free chance to make a living. So if a community responding to these to the seasteading competition wishes to implement some kind of technology visa or other online visa system, there can be potentially enormous revenues depending on the scale and size that they wish to set up a land zone. There can be a lot of revenue coming in for the government and for the local partners who initiate the project. So that I would call the program level, the operating system level for a special economic zone regime that can apply both on land and for the seasteads. The second area of potentially enormous upside for the local initiators of a project is what we can call the project level entities to awaken many, many, potentially tens of millions, even hundreds of millions of dollars of value in what's now dormant real estate on land. So in the case of initiating, once one has the operating system, the software of the special economic zone incentives in good shape, it means any piece of any site, any part of the land that's included in the whatever the local partners wish to define as the land zone, that they can implement demonstrations of this new business climate very quickly in small areas, but ones that can scale up potentially to dozens of square kilometers or even hundreds of square kilometers in size. So I'd like to, if you wish, walk through a scenario on how these projects, specific projects on land, can unfold in a step-by-step way in a manner that benefits the local stakeholders.
Mark, why don't you walk us through the steps?
Okay. Well, back when I started in special economic zones, the land-based zones had to be pretty substantial. They cost millions of dollars worth of upfront investment because they were attracting electronics assembly, apparel assembly operations, employing hundreds and hundreds of people. So typically, these special economic zones in the old days would take the form of an industrial park and require, again, many millions of dollars of upfront money and, you know, potentially 10 million more in borrowed money to launch. But that's transformed. That has changed. And the reason it's changed is because now we have an alternative to flying in or shipping in components that are used by the special economic zone industries. Today, we have bandwidth. We have affordable data and voice communication links that can be brought in at very low cost and even brought in to existing buildings. So the idea of the quick start phase, once the government has got the operating system improved and hopefully brought to world levels in terms of simplicity and clarity and removing of taxes and regulatory burdens, once it's agreed to that, any piece of real estate, even existing buildings, can be brought on stream as a quick start special economic zone. So in some cases, for example, in the Caribbean, these zones which employ people in information industry work, knowledge-based industries, these zones have been set up in areas as small as a floor or several floors of an existing office building. And within that area, people can do a full range of teleservices that require a lot of affordable communication links and a lot of prepared labor, good labor at market price. And they can be get going within months of the decision to proceed. So it's possible for local partners who have existing buildings to turn those into areas of employment and create job opportunities in many, many fields that rely on telecommunications. So secretarial work can be done. People can do call center operations. They can do image processing where they're receiving electronically the paper documents, for example, insurance claim forms, and processing those in the quick start area.
What about co-working spaces?
Very much so. That this lends itself also for, as an on-ramp for freelancers and part-timers. And over the past decade in particular, the number of free markets for telework has burgeoned. There are well over 50 of them today, and 40 million freelancers already participating in them. There's, in most cases, no entry barrier, no cost to join, but there is, in many cases, the lack of a place where one can go on a co-working-like model and be productive, so that it becomes possible for the developer of the quick start zone to set it up in time work areas that are open for the part-time freelancers to come in. This can mean students, it can mean job seekers. They can have access to the telecommunication links, workstation areas for them to be productive. And a related part of this opportunity for the quick start, many of the tens of millions of freelancers who are now competing and bidding in these global markets, they lack an on-ramp in the way of starter projects. So another element that the seasteading competition hopes to encourage will be for the local quick start partners to be able to introduce small credentialing projects, work study projects that can be rooted through existing freelance markets like freelancer.com or fiverr.com. And by getting these credential building projects up, this means the reputation, the track record of the local freelancers can go up the curve much faster than in most areas of the world. So that feeder system of micro gigs and work study opportunities is very much part of what we're looking to bring into this contest. The Startup Societies Foundation, which, as you mentioned, I'm chair of, we are ready to commit up to $15,000 worth of micro projects, credentialing projects for these quick start areas for freelancers to have opportunities to get on the scoreboard and build reputation. In addition to that, we're looking in the quick start phase to help encourage locally established businesses to help them grow. For example, Airbnb ventures now, in many cases, could be doing better if there was a world-class, you know, special economic zone established nearby. These zones tend to attract visitors, business people, and this can help generate opportunities for the local Airbnb and large-scale resort developments too as it grows. So we're very much in this contest looking to encourage early wins on the part of the local quick start zone initiators. But the magic happens once the quality of the reforms is demonstrated in these quick start special economic zones on land. What happens then is any area that the local partners have set up as a phase two and phase three expansion area, these become much, much more valuable because the quality of the business climate can be demonstrated and proven in this quick start zone. So the approach then, and again, all of this is based on what the local stakeholders, decision makers, how far they wish to go. But in cases where they decide to, under leasehold, for example, commit a substantial expansion area of perhaps 100 to 100 hectares would be ideal, maybe a square kilometer as phase two, that can then be directly developed on more of a classic special economic zone model as a business park, an office park, industrial park, even technology park, depending on the number of people that, in the area that are in the market, the labor market. These can become areas that employ thousands, maybe tens of thousands of people. And that concession, if again, the world, it's a world-class business climate in the special economic zone incentives, that concession can be very lucrative for direct development, or it can be put out to tender. And many of the most successful special economic zone operators around the world now are looking to expand. So you see Chinese special economic zones developing in partnership, coming into these mid-size zones and directly funding. We've seen cases also, Singapore recently has moved into partnership in Jamaica in the Caribbean. The Gale, which is a Boston-based U.S. developer, is leading a $30 billion private special economic zone partnership in Korea and declared it would like to see 20 more such projects in its own portfolio. So worldwide, we're seeing big players looking for opportunities. And it's possible for the local initiators of a successful quick start zone to package their opportunity for phase two and put it out for global tendering, global bidding, and receive upfront concession payments as well as residual continuing payments. And this principle can potentially, again, be worth many, many millions of dollars to the quick start initiator without requiring them to make a direct investment out of pocket. The gigantic upsides for the local stakeholders occur when there's a third and bigger expansion area. And this could be some of the special economic zones in China are hundreds of square kilometers in size. And now it's not every every setting that is going to have that kind of room. But certainly the Blue Frontiers Global Contest would encourage local initiators to think big in terms of downstream, what kind of land could be committed under leasehold partnerships by the current landowners with the government's participation, if needed, and offer that not right away for global tendering, but after the headway in the mid-size zone is clear, then put on market this much larger area as an opportunity. And it can give birth potentially to a new world city on the scale of a Singapore, a Dubai, a Songdo, Korea, or a Hong Kong, and be done on a success-sharing basis with the local initiators, the local government, and the people directly of the community. What's happened in some of the leading special economic zones, the land has become so valuable that in the case of Singapore and Hong Kong and Macau, there have been initiatives now to directly share with citizens directly to make them essentially receive dividends. In the case of Macau, this comes out to, it's now these dividend payments, which are called the wealth partaking scheme, amount to approximately $1,000 per person per year. Four is getting a quite substantial share of the upsides. And again, we will be working in the toolkits that we're offering to encourage the local champions, the local initiators, to take the best practices in these kinds of models of success sharing and land rent sharing, land revenue sharing, so that all of the citizens of the sponsoring community and ideally the sponsoring country can receive opportunities, receive assets, receive revenues as these new world cities emerge.
So Mark, one more thing before we conclude, because you've given a lot of information about the content of the contest and how it would benefit both locals and contenders. But can you say a little bit about the character and the qualifications that people who want to apply for the contest should have?
Sure. This is wide open. Round one, we are looking, and the round one I should mention is underway right now and will be going. This will be, I believe, through September 10th. We will be inviting pretty much anyone who has an interest in seasteading and land-based and or land-based special economic zones to fill out a simple form. And this is on the web right now. We'll show on the screen in a moment how you can access it. And we're looking simply for a video clip, or maybe 500 word summary with photos showing the proposed location of the C zone and land zone opportunity. And beyond that, so this is something that pretty much any local initiators are encouraged to put together. We welcome projects with some established entrepreneur, but also university students, people in NGOs, whoever has the vision and the practical sense of how this could unfold. We encourage you to fill out this very, very simple entry form. We are contacting worldwide folks in, for example, people who have experience operating destination resorts, operating marinas, people who may have some special economic zone development experience in their own country, local and national economic development organizations, and people concerned with sea level rise one of the key factors in this, the opportunity, is to begin pilot projects to show how areas, island countries, or waterfront areas that are at risk as global sea levels rise, how they can adapt to it and even prosper as it unfolds. So people with that kind of experience and interest, we're also very keen to see them step forward in this process of step-by-step, finding the best projects in the world.
Excellent, Mark. I think that's fantastic. And I think a lot of people who are viewing this podcast right now are prime candidates for the contest. Everyone, thank you again for joining us at the Startup Societies Foundation podcast. Join us in the Startup Societies Build Your Own Seasteading competition with Blue Frontiers and help build a homeland for seasteading around the world.